The following is for information purposes only and does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of News Radio 680 WPTF and the Curtis Media Group.
We are on Making Your Home Great on WPTF, FM 92.9, AM 680. And Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware is here on Making Your Home Great. How you doing?
I'm well. I hope you are.
How's the world of hardware?
Well, it's wet, like everything else.
Yeah. I often wonder whether everybody, because I'm out of the Raleigh area a little bit, I wonder how wet it's been in the Raleigh area. Has it really been bad?
Oh, it has been. It's been on the news, but where I live in Apex, one of the major roads, Olive Chapel, got washed out on the 8th, and it's probably going to be November, December before it's back open.
It's destroyed, in other
it
words.
It is, yeah. The culvert gave way, and there's a sinkhole there. But, you know, the problem is when it's wet like this, you know, as we were talking just a minute ago, you can't get out and do a whole lot in your yard.
Right.
You look for a break when you can mow the grass.
Yep.
But it's kind of hard to do weed control because you can't spray a whole lot if it's going to rain in the next hour.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're hesitant to put out granular products because they're going to wash away. So we just we sort of have to sit tight and get through this weather pattern.
We had a hard time finding a day which was all clear for me to spray some of the plants to get rid of the bugs. And we've had, you know, they're eating them up.
Oh, it is. And you know, mosquitoes are running rampant. They're finding every piece of water, and there's a plethora of pieces of water right now. So.
Sure. Yep. I was out the other day, and my wife is driving. I see half the road. You know, there's a country road. Half the road is covered.
That's right.
With water. And I'm like, all right. She can drive on the other half, but the other half is designated for eastbound
rather than
westbound. You got to be careful.
You do. Turn around, don't drown, is absolutely the truth.
I actually had a real-life example of this. We harvested some of the potatoes that I grew in bags.
Right.
Really good year. The potatoes don't look beautiful, but they're okay. They taste good. But I had to make sure to harvest them when... You know, I really missed the chance before we had 2 days of rain. So they're all in mud. I was like, no, I'm going to let this dry out for a little bit. And it still was a messy project. What are people asking you about
this area? Yeah, at this point in time, a lot of our traffic is on the necessities of what they have to have. Of course, they're always feeding the birds. So, you know, that's still a strong category for
us. That's good.
But one of the categories that's sort of boosted up is water removal. You know, sump pumps, trash pumps, and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the commercial people, as well as residential, but the commercial people, they still have a job to do, and they've got to get it done in a certain time frame.
Sure. Sure. And, you know, if you're putting in a sump pump in your own home... That's a project.
It is, and you know, again, we try to make sure that when they leave, that they've got everything they need.
Yeah.
But it's been, you know, the last couple of weeks, or I'd say the last 3 weeks, really, because of where we're situated with NC State and Meredith, a lot of back to school projects. A lot of the rental companies have been in to get the units ready for kids to come back.
Yeah.
So that's been pretty strong for us.
Drywall, paint.
Yeah, drywall, paint. To give them all credit, they're all meticulous, making sure that all the smoke alarms are in and they're working.
Good. Yeah.
Making sure that they do a lot of rekeying of the locks
that
the students that were there last year don't have spare keys to get in this year.
You know, what happens is that they go out, they're not freshmen anymore, they're juniors, and they have a few... And they go back to the wrong apartment.
That's right.
It happens.
It does. But that's been pretty strong for us. And now, now we sort of take a breath and get ready for the state fair.
Yeah. I hadn't actually thought of rekeying and your location. It's one of the services you do. You probably do a lot of it.
Oh, we do.
And we haven't talked about it.
Yeah, we do two or three of them a day.
Two or three a day.
Yeah, and 99% of the time we do it while they're waiting.
And I'm so ignorant of this. Do we need the doorknob in your place?
I just need the doorknob, anywhere the key goes in.
Yeah.
I just need that and a working key.
Oh, great.
You know, we have about three or four times a year, it's kind of humorous, we'll have somebody bring a lock in, a door lock.
Yeah.
And they want to get it rekeyed. And I say, okay, I need the key to get in it. Well, I don't have it.
That's why I tore it down.
And they're like, why can't you do that? And I said, well, think about it. If that was the case, you could go to a vacant place.
Yes.
Take the doorknob off.
Yeah.
Get it rekeyed, and then you have a key to that place, and the original owner doesn't.
Yeah.
So that's sort of one of the safeguards, is making sure that we have a key that works. But, yeah, we could do, you know, like I say, we do. We are not necessarily bragging, but we're pretty good at it. There's three or four of us there.
Good.
You know, and we're there all the time that you bring it in, and about – it takes even the slowest one of us, it only takes us about 10 minutes.
Yeah. And, of course, with the knob there, you're testing it.
That's right, yeah.
With the lock.
Exactly. And yeah. Before the customers leave, we actually hand it to them and make sure they are comfortable that it works okay.
Yeah. I've had keys that were, you know, recreated or duplicates. And, yeah, they're okay, but not great.
Right.
You want to make sure it's great.
That's correct.
It turns
correct.
Every time. Well, that's a and terrific
it's,
thing.
You know, when people come in that are new to the neighborhood.
Right.
One of the first things I say to them is, I say, did you get your locks changed?
Yeah.
And again, they're kind of, why would I do that? And I sit there and I say, well, think about it. I said, were you, and in our area, we've got a fair amount of people that are new homeowners.
Yeah.
So they haven't been around the block like a lot of us have. And
right.
So I say, you know, okay, is this your first house? And they're like, well, yeah. And if that's the case, I say, okay, are you going to plan on making copies of this key, of your keys, to give to your parents or neighbors? And they said, well, of course we are. And I said, okay. Yeah. The previous owner did the same thing. So just from a safety standpoint, it makes you sleep better at night. I said, you know, it's sort of the same theory about having an alarm system. You got an alarm system for a reason. You change your locks for a reason.
Yeah, you almost want to ask, hey, have you been ripped off ever
right.
in your life?
Yeah, and it's cheaper to rekey the lock you have than to buy a new lock.
It is. Although, you know, in bubble wrap, you know, there's a whole kit for keys and
right.
new doorknobs, but we don't have to do that.
That's right.
Okay. All right. That's great. And among the other things that you do, you'll repair screens.
Yep. That's a big business for us.
You don't do glass, though, right?
Well, we do. We'll do storm windows.
We don't do
regular windows, because almost all the regular windows out there today that would come in would be double pane or triple pane. And in between those panes of glass is argon gas. In between those panes of glass is argon gas.
Yes.
So that it doesn't fog up. And if you ever, most people have had this happen, you have a window that all of a sudden starts fogging up and you can't get rid of it. That's where the seal in between those two panes has failed, and you know, air and humidity is getting in there. So.
I doubt you can re-argon a window.
It's hard to, at that time. And I don't want to speak out of place. I'm not sure about that because I know that we can't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
sharpen any tool I've got that needs sharpening.
Except for serrated knives.
No serrated knives.
Because
the method you're using doesn't work on
That's right. I don't have a machine that will sharpen a serrated knife at all. So
okay, all right, including lawn implements.
That's right.
You know, gardening implements.
Right.
Secateurs. You know the squeezy little things that cut things.
Yeah. Pruners, loppers,
whatever you call them.
Yeah, I've got. In fact, when I leave here, going back to the store, I've got about 25 pair of Felco pruners to sharpen.
Yeah. Yeah, the same person brought them in?
Well, it's one of the departments of the university.
Yeah, okay. That's great.
So, you know, it's cheaper to sharpen what you have than to buy a brand new pair.
Yes, it is. Or if you've lost yours.
Right.
We can go to Burke Brothers Hardware and just buy another
one. That's right. We do sell them.
And you've got this, you explained to me you have a high end and a medium end for yard implements.
Right.
I can buy a pickaxe that is heavy duty if I'm going to use it every day.
Right. Yeah. Made by Council Tool.
Council Tools.
And they're based out of Lake Waccamaw. So it's North Carolina. Not only is it an American company, it's a North Carolina company.
That's great. That's great. And if I didn't want to spend all that much, and I'm only going to use this a couple of times.
That's right.
You got an option for
right,
me.
Right. Exactly.
Same thing with shovels.
Yes, sir.
Okay. It's funny. I ask you these dumb questions because there are people trying to imagine your store. They know they got bird seed in one area and, you know, you repair things in the other. You don't do gas engines, right?
We do not.
You do not. All right. That's very good. All right. Well, let's talk about the other things in just a little bit.
Okay.
Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware. By the way, if you have a question about your lawn and you think you can describe it well, go ahead and call us up. 919-860-9783. This is Making Your Home Great on WPTF.
Thank you for listening to Making Your Home Great. If you have a question for any of our experts on the show today, call us at 919-860-9783. Now, back to Dave.
Off air, we were talking about medical stuff, and now I'm almost curled up in a ball on the floor because somebody told me something. And I don't want to talk about it on the air. I just want to say, everybody's got to lay off me. Don't tell me stuff. Don't. I'll fall out. All right. I'm sorry. We are on Making Your Home Great. It's actually a home improvement show, but it's hosted by a guy who gets the willies. Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware is here. I'm Dave Alexander, and we are on WPTF. And the other things that you have in the store that are typical hardware store items, you're not a store with a sign that says general store, and you sell mostly T-shirts. You're a hardware store.
That's right. We are not a home improvement store. We're a hardware store. Meaning that if you're looking for furniture and you're looking for a lot of decorative items, we just don't have the space for it. It's not that I don't want to carry it. It's just that I don't have that. The store is only 4,400 square feet.
And you fundamentally do not have an objection to garden gnomes.
That's correct.
But do you have room for them on the shelves?
Unfortunately, we do not.
You don't. Okay. Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
We could put them in there, but then we might not be able to have room for grass seed. And that's a little bit more popular, especially this time of year coming up.
And the I've asked you this before, probably in the last five shows you've done. How many SKUs, how many different barcodes do you have for the store?
There's about 75,000.
75,000 individual different items.
Yeah. Now, that being said, let's be honest, because people would sit there and say that there's no way, but our nuts and bolts aisle is about, all total is about 64 feet.
Yeah.
And that's probably a third of the store SKUs sit in that 64 square. I mean, just because there's...
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that we don't have it, but chances are if you need it, we have it.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you have an individual need for a nut or a bolt that is this specific type and size.
Right.
It's what are the two types? There's thin or
well, you've got SAE or standard and metric.
SAE and standard. Okay.
And then you've got fine thread and coarse thread.
Fine thread and coarse thread.
And then in metric, you actually have three different thread counts. So you'll have a regular fine thread and then extra fine.
You know, if I was in charge of the world, we wouldn't have that variety. I would just say it's like we've talked about the toilet situation. Well, you got to know what kind of toilet you're having troubles with in order to find the part for it.
Right.
Nothing's standard.
That's right. The only thing that's standard in plumbing is that nothing is standard.
And that they work pretty much on the same fundamental principle.
Right. They all do, you know, all toilets do the same thing.
Yeah.
They just do
Thank
it
goodness.
Differently. Right. So, you know, anybody that has an issue, then what I tell them is take the top off the tank in the back and snap a picture on your phone.
Yeah.
And I can tell you what kind of toilet you have then.
Because you'll recognize it.
That's right.
It doesn't have to have a name there.
That's right.
You just recognize it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Recognize it by the way the flush valve is and, you know, how it, just the inner workings. We can all tell what kind of toilet you have.
And I'm going to tell everybody, even though they already know, just in case you didn't, pretty much the whole works is right there in that tank.
That's right.
There's no other moving parts, really.
Right.
Right. So you can see it, put your hands in there, and fix it.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Because, you know, electric or a lawnmower, I couldn't begin to tell you. A toilet? Oh, yeah. You can just watch it run.
Right.
My parents had the lid off the tank probably for a year and a half at one point because it would just run continuously. So we would pull up on the little arm.
That's right.
And it'd stop it. I don't know. We also had a toaster that only toasted on one side. We would toast our bread twice. My brother was surprised when he went to college and found out that not everybody had that.
That's right.
Yeah. So you'll talk people through projects on the toilet. How about other plumbing projects?
Oh, yes, sir. It's like somebody, a gentleman came in the other day, and the newest thing, well, not newest, but one of the new things that are out there is a dryer that has steam capabilities.
Yes, yes.
And you've got to run your water over to the dryer at that point, which to me always has seemed like it's kind of counterintuitive to run water to your dryer. But, but the steaming function is there, and, I mean, we've got a kit that does that. Just in case the dryer doesn't come with it or you're buying it secondhand, there's a kit that has everything you need in it to run your dryer and be able to use that steam function.
We own it, a dryer that does that, and installing it was not easy.
Right.
But here's the thing. I've never used it. I should use it on this shirt because steaming it probably would take out most of the wrinkles.
Right.
But then I got to go wear it. So, you know, that's the way it goes. All right, so Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware is here. We have a $25 gift certificate to Cape Fear Seafood Company. Could be yours. Call during the break and come up with a question for Jeff. 919-860-9783. This is Making Your Home Great. FM 92.9, AM 680, WPTF.
This is Making Your Home Great on WPTF FM 92.9, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Remember, if you missed any of the portions of today's show, we archive all of our shows as podcasts available wherever you get your podcasts and on demand always at WPTF.com. Now back to our host, Dave Alexander.
With Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware, and the winner of a $25 gift certificate to Cape Fear Seafood Company, Millie from Raleigh. Hey, Millie.
Hello.
Hello. Could you get a little closer to your phone, speak right up, and tell us what your question is?
I want to know what type of fertilizer I should use for my fig tree.
For your fig tree?
Yes.
There's actually a fruit tree fertilizer that would be great for that.
Do you carry it?
Yes, ma'am, I sure do.
Oh, sure. He'll even carry it out to the car if you ask.
Well, that would be great.
Oh,
yeah.
Millie, when you started out talking, you sounded exactly like this. But now it's cleared up. So, that's a wonderful. I loved hearing from you, Millie. You have won a $25 gift certificate to Cape Fear Seafood Company. Cape Fear Seafood Company uses the freshest possible ingredients. They specialize in regional American seafood, signature dishes, and hand-cut fish, steaks, chicken, and incredible desserts. Ask about the Chowder. They're in the Village District and Spring Forest in Raleigh, and Rogers Brand Road in Wake Forest. CapeFearSeafood.com. By the way, our gift certificates are only for the Raleigh locations.
But also, Millie, just to back it up, you don't want to fertilize it now.
No.
You want to fertilize figs in late April, early May.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'll make a note of that.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for the gift certificate.
Millie, do you actually get figs from your tree?
Yes.
You do?
I have a large tree.
Wow.
Yeah, this year has been a really good year for figs. Mm-hmm. I've got one in my yard, but the deer usually get to it before I do.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Well, I'm hoping to get a second crop.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I thank y'all so much.
All right. Take care, Millie.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware is here on WPTF. Your questions are always welcome. 919-860-9783. I just mentioned to you off air that the grass that appears in my yard most of the time, I mean, in most areas, has shoots that come out. I mean, they just travel. Good, 6, 8, 10 inches, and then go down into the ground again, and, you know, another plant starts. That's what?
That's probably Bermuda, in all likelihood.
Bermuda. Okay. And is that a good grass for around here?
Well, the one that you have is typically a common Bermuda.
Okay.
And like I was telling you off air, that particular grass is in a lot of Department of Transportation blends.
Oh, yeah.
And so anytime they're doing road work and they've got to come back and reseed, a lot of times that's what they're wanting to put down, unless a homeowner can specifically say, no, I don't want Bermuda, we'll do something else.
Right.
But if to the other end of that, hybrid Bermudas are wonderful to have in the yard because they don't travel that 7, 8 inches before throwing up a shoot.
Right.
And it also likes to grow a lot. The hybrid Bermudas like to grow a lot lower. And so it makes a nice turf, like a golf course, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, most of the fairways around are Bermuda. And you see how quickly that responds to those people that play golf and maybe not so well make all the divots, and you see how quickly it can repair.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it is a great grass, and it doesn't tolerate – it chokes out – that and centipede choke out a lot of the weeds.
Yeah.
The only drawback that a lot of people have to it is it turns brown in the wintertime.
Yeah, it does. It does. But, you know, that's – you just get used to it.
Right.
I had a family member who spent some time with us in the wintertime say, yeah, your yard is just terrible. And that's because up in Yankee land, we don't use that kind of seasonal grass.
Yeah, when you get pretty close to, I'll say, the Virginia line, it doesn't do as well, you know, above the Virginia line. Although with the heat we've had over the last few summers, I think it is creeping up there. No pun intended. But if you don't like the brown in the wintertime, then you can just overseed with ryegrass.
Okay.
Because ryegrass does wonderful in the wintertime.
Oh, I know. Okay.
So you can.
I don't have to go killing things. I just overseed.
That's right. And then the annual ryegrass dies back in, you know, usually mid to late May when the Bermuda or centipede is starting to come back.
And then I got to do it again.
Right.
I'm fine with that.
Right. But ryegrass, you know, people that have fescue lawns, this year was sort of the exception with all the rain that we've had.
Yeah.
Because normally you go through a dry spell where there's, you know, 12 days, usually when you're on vacation, that it doesn't rain. But I was looking back and it's been, I think, mid-April was the last time we went a week without rain.
Right.
So this year it may not the fescue may not have died back as much as it usually does.
Right.
But I tell people, okay, you can put ryegrass out, but ryegrass is usually about a third of the price that the fescue is. So if you're going to if you got a fescue lawn, you're probably putting it out every year. So which do you want to do? Fescue at $100 a bag or ryegrass at $40 a bag?
I vote rye.
Right.
I vote rye. It's got a nice sound to it also.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm singing American Pie in my head. I don't know why. Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware is here talking lawns and everything else. How can you talk about lawns and be so knowledgeable about plants?
Well, that's what I went to school for.
Okay.
Went to NC State for botany. So, right. And then having done it for 30 years.
Yeah.
I think I'm pretty decent at it.
Yeah.
But just like the toilet, if somebody's got an issue, take a picture.
Yep.
Take a picture and bring it in.
Yeah.
And I'll help you figure out whether it's good, bad, indifferent, and if it's good, how do we make more of it? If it's bad, how do we get rid of it?
I've always blamed the guy who cuts my lawn for the fact that there are chunks of fescue in amongst all the other. Is it possible to, I mean, he should wash off the deck and clean it completely and not spread that other kind of grass on my beautiful, what is it, Bermuda? Yeah, Bermuda. Is that even possible?
It's not really likely.
No.
It's probably that a neighbor has a fescue yard that's let sort of go out of control.
Yeah.
And it's gone to seed, and that seed has spread. Either, you know, one of the ways that it can do it is birds. Birds eat the seed.
Yeah.
It goes through their system. When they poop it out, wherever it is, that's why one of the weeds that's really rampant that some people like, pokeweed.
Okay.
Pokeweed is, you always see it. You don't see it out in the middle of a field a lot.
Okay.
You see it under power lines. You see it along fence rows, things like that, because birds absolutely love it.
Yeah.
But the birds go to the fence to stop and take a rest. Well, that's where nature happens. And so that's why you see a lot of times, you know, along those areas.
And this is off track, but there is no solution for kudzu, is there?
No, sir.
Nothing.
Except for go back in time.
Go back in time. We could chop it down every year or mow it up and then, you know, make it weak and then put all sorts of chemicals on it. We're probably not going to be able to get rid of it.
At this point, it would be hard to eradicate it.
Yeah.
Just because it's so rampant.
Right.
You know, if it was in one small section of the state, it might be one thing, but it's all over.
It's all over. And what did we bring this aboard for? Why? This is a Japanese weed, isn't
it? Right. It is. It was done back in the, I think, the 50s, 40s or 50s. It was brought over primarily thinking that it would be a grazing product for cattle.
Oh. And did it work out for that?
Cattle will eat it.
Yeah.
But they'll eat everything else first.
Oh, yeah.
So,
okay.
You know, the only thing that I know that'll take care of a good kudzu patch is goats.
I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah, goats love it. And so.
Well, it's something.
But goats also love an old 57 Chevy. I mean,
they'll eat
anything.
Well, here's the thing. I have imagined that really the best thing to invest in would be kudzu hull. That is alcohol from kudzu plants.
Yep.
It grows. It's for free.
It is.
You come to somebody and say, hey, can I take 10 bushels of kudzu off your lawn? Yes.
Right.
So you get it for free. You turn it into alcohol. You add that to gasoline. And your car will run 30% more efficiently. I've solved the problem.
There you go.
I don't think so. But I've solved the problem. All right, we're talking with Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware. Our number is 919-860-9783. If you want to invest in my kudzu hull business, just let me know. I need money for the still. 919-860-9783 on Making Your Home Great.
Thank you for listening to Making Your Home Great. If you have a question for any of our experts on the show today, call us at 919-860-9783. Now, back to Dave.
With Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware and Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. How you doing, Brock?
I'm doing okay. excited to be here this Saturday. It's actually starting to dry up just a smidge outside. The sun is out.
That's good. I like a dry period after all this rain.
Yeah, that's what we were just talking. I was just talking to Jeff about is how much water issues we've had to deal with homeowners the last 2 weeks. It's been, and I just showed you guys a photo.
Yeah.
Of what appears to be a moat underneath somebody else's house.
Yeah.
Get your canoe ready, and you know.
You could
spend
literally
the day
put
under
a
the
kayak.
House.
You could put it. It's too the crawl space is too crawly. You know, it's too short to really sit in the kayak, but you could push it from one side to the other.
Yeah, yeah. That customer had a very, very clogged low spot drain. Yeah. So it was no way for water to get out, and it just kept coming in and been piling up. So it's been a lot of drainage the last 2 weeks.
Okay. All right. Well, Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware is just bragging about the store. You've got people extraordinarily experienced in things.
Yes, average length of employment right now is about 24 years.
24 years, and that's only thrown off. Used to be higher.
Thrown off because when my manager retired last year, he had only been there 42 years.
42 years, yeah.
So he's a short timer.
And some of the younger people could get him on the phone or get you on the phone pretty quickly.
That's right.
If there was an issue that they needed to deal with.
Oh, exactly.
So what should we be doing to our lawn this season?
Well, now is a perfect time to do a soil test. Go ahead and get that done so that you know exactly what you need to do.
Right.
Almost every single time I'll guarantee you that you're going to need to lime it some because we live in an acidic environment. The old saying is if you can see a pine tree from your yard, you have, you have an acidic lawn.
So
doing that, and then depending on the what type of grass, going back to, the Bermuda versus fescue, there are different fertilizers to put out. It's a little too late, in my opinion, for fertilizing a warm season grass, except for putting down like a winterizer, which starts to get the roots hardy for the upcoming winter. And it's still a little bit early for that with some of those lawns. But, if you're putting in a fescue lawn and you don't have a lot of existing grass, there's a lawn starter that's perfect. Or if you've got a great fescue lawn that you're just trying to maintain and maybe overseed, then there's another fertilizer to put down. There's a whole host of options, but the best recommendation is just give me a call at the store or come by, and I can walk you through just about everything you need to do. I'm a big believer that you only need to touch your lawn 4 times a year.
Really?
And it rotates. With me, it rotates all around holidays versus dates on a calendar.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because it's easy to remember Valentine's Day for pre-emergent. Tax day for your first fertilization for
tax day the holiday.
If you've got anything left over.
That's right. Yeah. That's good for fertilizing your fescues. And then I said four, but there's more than that. But you've got Memorial Day is a good time to start putting down broadleaf weed killer for fescue or putting down a fertilizer for warm season grasses.
Okay.
Labor Day is a good time to put down the fertilizer for fescues and, if you want to control the weeds, you can. If not, then a winterizer around Halloween.
You mean I got to do labor on Labor Day?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes, you do.
Dang it.
Yeah. It's a rule. You have to. Well, you have to do something.
I mean, if you want your lawn to be nice,
that's right.
It is what it is.
It is.
And what is the, for Valentine's Day, what do we do?
That's a pre-emergent for crabgrass.
Pre-emergent for crabgrass.
And a small box of chocolates.
That's right.
Because I couldn't afford a big box.
If the yard gets a treat, I get a treat. Darn it.
Yes. I can imagine the last guy who offered his girlfriend that or his wife. Yeah, honey, I'm getting you a pre-emergent.
Yeah, his now ex-wife.
Happy Valentine's Day.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, and if you got, if after you've done all that and you feel like taking her out, may I just suggest Cape Fear Seafood Company? We gave Millie a certificate. I went there a couple of weeks ago with another couple, and my wife and I with another couple. everybody walked out with a great meal and mm-hmm. a great smile. They were so attentive to us. Somebody had a food allergy, and they went back and forth, and we said, no, you don't have to worry about that. You know, you got a shellfish allergy. Eating at a seafood place is, you know, you got to be careful. But she was, and they were for her. So Cape Fear Seafood Company, can't say enough about them. And, of course, the Burke Brothers Hardware, can't say enough about them. And Jeff Hastings, tell me something odd that happened at the store this last couple of weeks.
Oh, wow.
I mean, are people...
It's like a daily event.
Put me on the spot.
Are people surprising you still?
Not really.
Okay.
It goes back to the education piece.
Yeah.
The people that come in that want us to be able to fix a toilet.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
But they don't have a picture of their toilet. Or people that come in with an electrical problem.
Yeah.
And they want to replace an outlet. And it's like, why did, you know, what's wrong with the outlet you have? Is mm-hmm. there a problem? And they're like, well, it's got these black marks around it.
Yeah. Well, I hear that all the time. Right. Yeah.
Well, the problem is possibly not the outlet. So we're gonna solve a symptom.
Yeah.
But, you know, then it's like, okay, send me a picture of the plug that you're plugging in that outlet.
Yeah, I always get a kick out of that. That's like calling the doctor and saying, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Come in so we can inspect and get to the cause of what's going on here. Or the auto mechanic. My car's making a funny noise. Can you make the noise? No. What is it? I don't know. Bring the car in. We'll take a look at it.
We'd like to see the car. Yeah.
These guys are good if you can bring in a photo. I bet you at least that gets you in the ballpark of what's going on.
And you don't have to bring the actual toilet in.
Well, the... okay,
if they that'd be helpful.
It dawned on me what the surprising thing is.
What is it?
So, you know, nowadays, everybody wants to hang their TV on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
So, person comes in and they say, okay, I got the TV mount, but the hardware was missing. So, I need the bolts.
Okay.
What bolts?
What bolts?
Well, I need the bolts.
The ones.
I said, do we need the ones that go into the wall or the ones that go into the TV?
Right.
And they're like, the ones that go in the wall first. I said, okay, that I can probably get to as long as you can find a stud. You know, so
yes.
Walk through there. I said, so what size screw do we need for the back of the TV?
Well,
they're all the same, aren't they?
No.
Yeah, right.
Nothing's the same.
Yeah.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
So I said, unfortunately, you sort of have to bring the TV in if you can.
It's a Jerry Maguire moment. Help me help you.
Yeah.
Help me help you.
So to give them credit, though, they went and got the TV and brought it in.
Yeah.
And so we were able to find the right ones for them.
And what were they?
8mm.
There you go.
And that 8mm would have been my guess, but...
you never know nowadays.
Yeah, right. I mean, so it's just, rather than leave them frustrated at home... How can they, you know, to your point, help me help you?
And at some point in my life, I would have been absolutely stopped at the moment you said studs. Wait a minute. I'm just going to use those white things that screw into the drywall.
Right. Yeah, that'll hold my TV.
And then
put
a screw through it. No?
I'd better be a tiny television.
It will for about 15 minutes.
Right.
till the next person walks in the room.
That's right.
Wow. Well, I mean, you sell stud finders, I assume.
We do, yes.
Well, that's good. Everybody's got to have it.
Yep.
And by the way, while you're shopping for stud finders, don't do the joke. You know the joke.
Yeah.
Don't do the joke.
Right. Don't
if
do
you're
one.
A fella and you wave that stud finder anywhere near you, don't do the joke.
Right.
We've already heard it.
It's been around.
It has been.
All right, so I got about a minute and a half. What else is going on at the store?
Well, like I said, the fair is coming up.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting sort of geared up for that. Kids are going back to school. Sort of got that taken care of, all the people that are moving in. And so fall is around the corner. In the next couple of weeks, we'll start having our cabbage, kale, lettuce, mustards, all the fall crop. Will start coming in.
These are collards. As seed or
well, I've got,
as...
already got the seed. If you're going to do it in seed, I'd go ahead and start that very quickly.
Yeah.
But we'll actually have the plants starting to come in.
Well, that's good.
In the next few weeks. We'll probably have some mums in. Well, I know we'll have some mums come in. And then also have some ornamental cabbage and kale that, you know, nice pink, purple colors.
Is it okay to eat?
It you can technically eat it, but it's pretty bitter. It's pretty bitter.
You won't die.
Yeah. Just like all kale.
Right.
You won't actually die.
Right.
But you might wish you had been.
Put some Tabasco sauce on
it.
That's
right.
All
right. Thank you, gentlemen. Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware, thank you.
Thank you
very
much.
Take care of yourself.
Yes, sir.
This is Making Your Home Great on WPTF.
The following is for information purposes only and does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of News Radio 680 WPTF and the Curtis Media Group.
Making Your Home Great on WPTF, FM 92.9, AM 680. Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier is here. He's a regular co-host of the show, but today he's the guest.
Yeah, so, they get to squeeze me in as a guest every once in a while.
Well, you know, it's important to brag about your company on the radio. We mention it all the time, but we don't brag enough about it. What was this week like?
Oh, man. It is, I guess, you know, for those who are not getting underneath people's houses, you know, these rainstorms come around and you know, okay, the front yard's nice and dry now. You don't really think about how much water is still accumulated and built up underneath the house that's not seeing direct sunlight, so it's not evaporating. It's just turning into a stagnant moat. That's really what we were getting a lot of. Homeowners at their properties are kind of graded towards the house. The backyard's graded towards the house, or the front yard's graded towards the house, and you're getting a lot of water buildup down there. So there's a lot of conversations about drainage and what steps can be taken to try to prevent this from happening in the future. Obviously, it can cause a ton of damage.
Now, people talk to you about these things, but there are oftentimes situations where you're not the guy to call.
Actually about half of what we've dealt with in the last week, I've referred out to another company that we work with that specializes in exterior drainage. You know, there's when people get water in the crawl space, it's kind of a mix between, we were getting customers that we had never spoken with before. We've never done work with them before, but they looked us up. They knew about our reputation and reached out, want us to come out and inspect the crawl space. And, you know, there's a bunch of water down there. And then it's walking them through the steps. Or these are the things that you can do to correct this issue. This is what's going to make the best impact and et cetera. And then you would get customers that we sealed their crawl spaces 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And they say, look, I got down there after all these major rainstorms, and I've got some water on the plastic. What do I do? And so I have to go out and walk them through what this is groundwater. This is where it's coming from. These are the steps to be taken. And
right.
Luckily, a good majority of people, you know, understand, and they can see that we're trying to guide them in the right direction. We can do interior sump pump basins and French drains.
Yes.
Okay, so if you're getting a lot of water in the crawl space and there's no way to prevent it from getting into the crawl space, we can install a system which will get it back out of there. But the better option is getting drainage on the outside of the house, preventing the water from ever getting in the first place.
Yeah.
And that's not something we do. Luckily, we do work with one of the best in the state, and that's the feedback I get from my customers is these guys are incredible, and they did it for a great price. So if you have the ability to do the outside drainage, that's what you do. Now, if you've got a $20,000 hardscape back patio and you can't run a French drain underneath that without breaking up concrete— All right, let's talk about doing an interior sump pump and basin. Maybe now, you know. So we were trying to guide customers in the direction that we felt was going to be the most effective to you know, squishing their problem.
Literally, you cannot seal a crawl space that water's not going to get in. You'd have to build it like a ship.
Right.
You'd have to have, it would be like a boat. You constructed a boat with a bottom.
Yeah.
And high walls.
That's a common misconception. Luckily, most people understand that, but I do have to get into the occasional conversation with homeowners that are like, well, you sealed the crawl space. There shouldn't be water. And it's like, where did you read that? Are you assuming the word seal means sealed from water? That's called waterproofing. That's a very different industry, just like an electrician and a plumber.
Yeah.
Waterproofing is an exterior membrane you do on the outside of the retention walls. So you have to dig the flower bed down to the footer,
yeah,
and then paint this black tar type material on the outside of the wall, which, yes, helps to waterproof the wall.
Okay.
Putting down plastic in a crawl space and then shooting in some wall insulation, mm-hmm, does not prevent bulk water.
Okay.
So we do have the occasional customers that are like, well, this should, you know, where's it coming in? Well, it's building up underneath the plastic.
Yes.
And it's coming in through the tape seams. Well, yeah, why aren't the tape seams holding? Well, I'm not aware of a tape on earth that's waterproof.
Yeah.
I don't believe it exists.
Yeah.
That tape is designed to help with moisture, but moisture is very different than standing water.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an education process. I have to walk customers through. If you're having a water issue, that is a separate issue than a relative humidity problem, which is what encapsulation is designed to
right,
fix, is the humidity, not the moat underneath your house.
Yes, yes.
If we don't want water down there, we need to install drainage on the outside, on the inside, but we need to install drainage. That'll,
yeah,
correct that problem.
A dehumidifier is probably not going to do it. I mean, you know, you run the dehumidifier, sure, it gets rid of humidity, but it's going to take a long while for that to get rid of all the water.
A long, long time.
Yeah.
Like, for example, when these when there's a major flood or something like that, or you have a bad leak that you know, rots out a section of your subfloor, and you,
yeah,
have these companies that come in and start pulling out stuff. Once they've pulled out all the soaking wet stuff, then,
yeah,
they hook up a dehumidifier to dry off the environment.
Yeah. Yeah,
but they pull all the really wet stuff out of there because it would take weeks for a dehumidifier to dry out something that's sopping wet.
Right.
So 6 inches of standing water. Is the dehu going to dry it out? Yes. Is it going to take till June 2026? Probably.
Yeah.
Are we going to get more rain between now and then that,
yeah,
could exacerbate the problem? Yeah, most likely. So let's correct the drainage issue so the dehumidifier can do the job it's intended to do.
All right. Now, how many options does a person have, does a homeowner have with triangle radiant barrier in the crawl space?
Pages.
Pages of options.
Yeah. That's why we do virtual estimates. And for my senior customers out there,
yeah,
they have been verbal about not liking to do virtual estimates because they're on a computer and I have to help walk them through how to turn it on,
okay,
and get to that. But once they're engaged in a virtual estimate,
yeah,
we come out and do the inspection, we take photos, we get videos, then we work up an estimate. Our estimates, mm-hmm, are like a la carte. It's like a buffet.
Yeah.
This is everything we offer as a company, every single line item, itemized with a square footage, price per square foot, and a total.
Yeah.
It is a fully itemized estimate. We'll go through and start picking and choosing what you want us to do. That's how we work up our estimates. So the,
yeah,
virtual estimate is me walking you through all the options and explaining them, not pushing you one way or the other.
Yes.
Just making sure you understand all your options. And at the end of it, most people are like, oh, I want to do this, 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 this. As long as it doesn't violate code,
yeah,
we will do whatever you want. Our job is to educate and inform so you can make up your mind.
But you got to, you've got to look at some people's situations and say, You can't go cheap on this.
Sometimes, yes.
Yes.
Sometimes if we get down there and the mold is severe,
yeah,
you know, one of the options, we do mold remediation, but there's levels to that. If the mold is fairly minor, we can do spot remediation. If,
mm-hmm,
the mold is more severe, we can fog it.
Okay.
If you want the staining removed after we've killed the mold, we can do baking soda blasting, which helps to peel the staining out of the wood.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to use any chemicals at all, we can use dry ice,
yes,
which will not only kill the mold, but remove the staining as well. So there's levels to remediation.
Right.
Every once in a while, we get into a crawl space that is absolutely saturated mold. And fogging it is going to be okay, but the embedded staining is so bad that even the soda blaster doesn't work very well.
Right.
So every once in a while, I have to tell homeowners, you're going to really want to seriously entertain thinking about doing dry ice. That's going to, I think, going to be the most effective. That's about the only time I try to guide someone is telling them the difference between a dehumidifier and air induction. I will try to guide them to the dehu because it's more effective. Trying to talk to customers about a non-reinforced plastic or a reinforced plastic. One has a one-year warranty. The other one has a lifetime transferable warranty for a few hundred dollars more.
Yeah,
I try to guide them to that, which is the better option. And then mold remediation. I try to give people accurate information. I think this is going to be the best avenue for you. But other than that, it's just explaining everything else.
The upper limit, the finest, probably more expensive, is that dry ice.
It is, yeah.
And you're taking essentially super frozen whatever ice, and you're blasting it against the wood.
Yeah,
such as when you finish, it looks like a brand new piece of wood.
It does. It does. Picture a pressure washer, right? But instead, or a sandblaster, but instead of water or sand, it's dry ice chips.
Yeah.
Now, we own the blasting equipment.
Yeah.
But we can't produce dry ice. So we order bins of dry ice chips designed specifically for our equipment that we can now blow into a crawl space. It comes out with a lot of velocity.
Yeah.
It will absolutely kill all of them. I mean, it's negative 131 degrees Fahrenheit. So it freezes mold dead on contact and copperheads and any other little gross creature that we happen to run into down there. That the black snakes we grab and relocate. The copperheads, you know, that might be a different story. but it kills the mold dead on contact and comes out with so much velocity, it peels all the staining out of the wood. So, yes, it looks like you just got back with brand new lumber.
I would imagine if you just left it in one place, eventually it'd chew through the wood.
Yeah.
I mean, don't do that, by the way.
Yeah, no, with dry ice, we have to disconnect ductwork because the dry ice can come out with so much velocity, it can shred the ductwork. So when we're going over those areas, we have to disconnect them from the registers so we can blast the wood and not cause any other damage and then reconnect them. So that's why it's expensive. It's not just the material cost, but it's all the additional labor needed to ensure that you don't destroy the customer's house while you're down there.
That's a good idea. Very good idea. All right. We're talking with Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. We're on Making Your Home Great, FM 92.9, AM 680, WPTF.
Thank you for listening to Making Your Home Great. If you have a question for any of our experts on the show today, call us at 919-860-9783. Now, back to Dave.
Making Your Home Great, Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier, Dave Alexander, and we're talking about Duke.
We were.
The Duke rebates are not only counterintuitive. I had to talk the rep. Sue was her name?
Sue Clement, that's right.
Sue Clement. I'm talking to her like, I don't think you know what this is doing. You're paying me to lower my power bill.
Right.
Why are they doing that?
We were talking about it during the break. You get these big corporations, right? And when there's extra money laying around, they don't give that to us. They don't hand that out to the people. They use that in other ways. Where I will give Duke absolute credit is I understand what they're doing. I think we all know with the amount of people that have moved into the area, it's putting a strain on our power grid.
Mm-hmm.
And Duke has rolled around for the last few years about what it would take to build a new power plant, something that could accommodate the new growth of the area. Well, we're talking billions and billions and billions of dollars to do something like that.
Yeah.
So instead, they're giving that money back. Instead of building a new power plant, they're giving that money back to the residents of the area. You know, if you want to increase your efficiency, if you want to bring down how much you're spending on utility cost, that helps the grid, because that's what we're trying to do here is keep the power as low as possible so we can maintain without having to build another plant.
Yeah.
So I give Duke 100% credit.
Yeah.
Now, if these rebates were pennies, you know, we wouldn't be having this conversation. If they're, oh, we'll give you a $100 rebate to blow in new insulation. It's an $1,800 insulation job. We'll give you $100 off. No. It's like, it's not even enough to talk about.
Yeah.
These are huge rebates. They're giving out lots and lots of different rebates in different areas. That is a good majority of what you're going to spend to actually have the work done.
Yeah.
And these customers, we signed up to be part of the Duke Registered Trade Ally program. And you can go to Duke's site and say, I need to be more efficient. I'm looking for an insulation company that works with Duke, and I can get these rebates. And then Duke gives you our number. They give you our information.
Yes.
We vastly underestimated how many people are reaching out to Duke. We bounced around for a couple of years on whether or not we wanted to be part of the Duke program. We were doing well on our own. We didn't really think we needed to be partners with anybody else.
Yeah.
So we kind of bounced back and forth on whether or not we wanted to do it. And when Duke came out with these rebates, we were like, okay, you know what? We want to be able to offer these to our homeowners. So let's jump through all the hoops. And you remember when Sue was on the show?
Yeah.
I was like, there were so many hoops that we had to jump through. The background... They did a background check on all of our installers. There was a lot that went into just being able to apply for and get accepted as a Duke Trade Ally. Yeah. And that made us really respect the program. It was a pain. Okay, sure. I'm not going to say that we weren't going to bed every night going, dang it, there's four other things we've got to do to get on this list.
Sure.
But when it was all done, we realized if you're on that list, you're a heavy hitter. Okay, you're not a run of the mill type company. You've really got to have an immaculate reputation to be up there. So once we got there, and then the referrals started coming in, Duke will send us, this customer reached out, they need insulation. We told them, you're a Duke, here's their information, go ahead and give them a call.
Right.
And we're fielding 12 to 20 a day.
Holy mackerel.
We grossly underestimated how many people are reaching out to Duke. And it's gotten to the point now where we've shut off all our marketing. We're doing primarily Duke leads and here at the radio.
Yeah.
And they are keeping us booked out in advance. So
wow.
People are really taking advantage of this, and they're able to get these rebates and get this insulation and doors and windows, solar. I mean, there's a lot of different rebates.
And from the customer's perspective, a lot of people don't like to just go ahead and buy an improvement to their home, whether it's windows or insulation or whatever. And you think to yourself, well, am I going to get anything back from it?
Mm-hmm.
I got to wait 10 years. If I replace all my windows, I probably save enough. In 10 years, it pays for itself.
Right.
This is... getting that money back immediately.
Very, very quickly. I mean, your average home, I'm just going to use an average here.
Yeah,
your average home in the area is, we'll say it's a 2,000 square foot house.
Okay.
It's a two-story. It's a box on a box.
Yeah.
The top floor is 1,000 square feet, so the attic is 1,000 square feet, right? So if we're going up there and blowing in insulation, it might be $1,300 to blow it in. Well, they're going to give you a $700 rebate. A $700 rebate for us to just top off your insulation. While we're up there, if you want us to seal up your HVAC ducts, we're going to charge you $250. They're going to give you a $250 rebate. So you get that for free.
Wow.
You want us to air seal your attic floor? There's a rebate for that. It's going to pretty much get you back all the money you spent to have it done.
Right.
So when it's all said and done, you're getting you're out $700-$800 and you're saving $60-$70 a month on your utility bill. You're going to get that back in about a year.
And thinking for just a moment as Duke, they can either build that $5 billion plant
and increase our power costs.
Right.
Uh-huh.
It'd be more expensive for us.
Yes, it would.
And they're going to turn out all right on it. I mean, honestly.
They'll be fine.
But instead, they're looking at how much power goes out from their existing plants. And if they can manage to send out 10% less, then they don't have to build that thing. I told Sue, I said, we're like one or two server farms away from being at our capacity. And she agreed.
Yeah.
There, you know, we would love to have companies come in and put their servers here. You know, it helps the local economy. But I don't want everybody else going through brownouts.
No, you don't. And what's interesting is the feedback we're getting from customers that are not with Duke.
Mm-hmm.
Their power is with Wake County or with, mm-hmm. with somebody else, and they'll reach out and say, hey, we need insulation. We want to get these Duke rebates.
Mm.
And, of course, that's the first question we ask is, obviously, we're assuming your power company is Duke. Oh, no, we're with this power company. Are they offering rebates? And it's like, well, no, because they don't own their own power plant. They're taking the energy from Duke's power plant, so they're a middleman.
Oh, yeah.
So, unfortunately, if you're not a Duke customer, you can't get Duke rebates. So those are really awkward conversations we have to have with homeowners that we're trying to help. You know, we want these customers to get these rebates. We want them to get it out as cheap as possible.
Yeah.
So it's disappointing every once in a while. We're with this power company. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. We can't offer you the Duke rebates.
Yeah. All right. We're talking to Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. He's not with Duke, although he works with Duke.
I do. Yeah.
In this. You know, he's not employed by Duke, but he's happy to be a Duke?
Registered trade ally.
Registered trade ally. We'll talk more about this and other things to do with your attic or your crawl space. And you can call us up at 919-860-9783 on WPTF.
This is Making Your Home Great on WPTF FM 92.9, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Remember, if you missed any of the portions of today's show, we archive all of our shows as podcasts available wherever you get your podcasts and on demand always at WPTF.com. Now back to our host, Dave Alexander.
Podcast. We're on a podcast?
I get that question a lot. They're like, oh, I've heard your podcast. I'm like, we're not a podcast. We're a live show.
Yeah, we are.
But then they put it on a podcast?
Yes.
Okay.
They just, I'm assuming that they remove the commercials, making it a shorter show, but yeah.
Okay.
It is what it is.
It is nice to have a, you know, you can go back and listen to any shows that you've missed.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. You can realize that I only know 7 questions. You know, really, I just reformulate them. Some days I'm just sitting there going, ah, boy. All right, I'm going to ask that question. How'd you get into this?
Uh-huh.
Brock, how'd you get into this?
How did I get into this?
Yeah, how did you get into this?
Oh, man. My story is a weird one. I was an auto mechanic for many, many years, and the shop that I was working for hired a manager above me that I did not agree with, so elected to go a different direction.
Yeah.
And at the time, a friend of mine said, look, you need to come over here. You know, I install insulation. It's good money. You know, it's athletic. You'll drop weight here in an attic and stuff like that. So that's kind of where it started. It was really just me taking another job to get out of a job that I was in at the time. And the longer I was doing it, the better I got with it. Became a very, very good installer. Then I started training installers on how to do this work. That translated into sales. Sales translated into commercial.
Right.
And, you know, 22 years later, I'm here now.
Yeah. You landed. This is the pinnacle of success right here. This is you're on the radio.
I hit my mountain peak.
So we talked about the crawl space. Let's talk about the attic.
Sure.
Are you getting calls?
A little bit less. I mean, a lot of Duke customers that are trying to reach out and get standard insulation. But now that we're starting to cool off just a little bit.
Yeah.
The attic calls are kind of limited to the Duke rebate program, people trying to take advantage of it while they can. We're really kind of ramping up crawl space work right now. Crawl space season is a little weird. Yeah. March, April, May, super busy in the crawl space. September, October, November, super busy in the crawl space.
Yeah.
So we're just now getting into the part of the season where people are trying to remediate all the damage that the summer caused and prevent it from coming back again next year.
I have never been up that creaky little ladder up to my attic, primarily because it's from the garage. and
tall ceiling.
It's a tall ceiling. Yeah. It's a tall ceiling, uh-huh. a weak ladder, uh-huh. and I'm a heavy guy.
Yeah.
My center of gravity is up near my shoulders. it's not a safe thing. But you're telling me that typically, is there insulation on the rafters?
Not unless the builder did it during construction. In most cases, you're not going to run into insulation on the rafters of the attic.
Right.
I wish it was more common. It's actually very energy efficient, especially in the summertime. If any of your equipment is in the attic, your duct worker in the attic, air handling unit are up there, then it can definitely make enough of an impact to justify having it done. But in most cases, no. The rafters are not insulated. Neither is a garage. You know, we get customers all the time. They're like, I need you to come blow in insulation. You know, for some reason, the builder didn't do it in the garage. And I have to go through the explanation. Well, remember, you know, Mrs. Johnson.
Yes.
Air conditioning and HVAC, okay, go hand in hand with insulation. If your air conditioner shut off in the middle of the summer, is your house still cool? No.
Yeah.
Right. They go hand in hand. So I can blow in insulation in your garage.
Yeah.
But unless you have an air conditioner out there, it's not going to do what you're hoping for. So do you really want to spend that money?
Right.
You've got to have that education process. And I can do this for you, but it's my job to make sure you understand this is not going to do what you're looking for.
Right.
And then they go, oh, well, darn it. Instead of spending it there, let's spend that money over here.
Sure. Sure. Very good. Barry in Raleigh called us up. Hey, Barry, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
All right. I think I have an idea of what's going on. Probably may need Holly involved.
Mm-hmm.
Brock, definitely. But I think I need to do a step before, and here's my situation.
Hmm.
Inside the house, at the front door, the hardwood, not a huge section, is bubbling up. I've gone down underneath the house in that section. That's the only section where I see there is some water underneath.
Mm.
Not a huge spot, not a large area. And I've checked other areas underneath the house, and everything seems dry. That section, though, is damp, and it even has, like, looks like white mold.
Mm-hmm.
So I cannot, there's no sign of leakage or water on the drywall inside the house.
Hmm.
I have flush toilets. It's a two-story house. My thinking, and Brock, correct me if I'm wrong, don't I need a subfloor guy first to bring it up to see if it's actual water that's causing this? Or where do I go?
Hmm. So when you say bubbling, are we talking bubbling like you would see with cooking oil and water bubbling? Are we talking about something referred to as cupping?
Cupping. Yeah. It's like a hump. Yeah.
Right. Almost like waves.
Yeah. Okay. But only one wave in a very isolated area.
Gotcha.
And you can walk on it and you can feel the difference.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's right there at the threshold of your front door.
Pretty much. It's a double door, so.
What does your front porch look like? Is that a covered front porch, or is that exposed to the elements every time it rains?
It is covered.
Okay.
And there was somebody else looked at it, and we don't think that, because this was a house that was expanded, right?
Right.
It was a traditional ranch that we went up on.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't think that there was how it's aligned and where it meets the house in this area does not think that addition of that covered front porch is causing the leak. But, I mean, who knows, you know?
Well, the reason I ask is typically masonry front porches, brick, cinder block. When you crawl up underneath the house and you get into the crawl space, those are typically areas that see quite a bit of water intrusion, mainly because the grout or, well, you know, the whatever they use between each bricks has a life expectancy. So over time, it kind of deteriorates, and then you get standing water in that area. That water goes between two steps or a seam,
mm-hmm.
and then works its way down into the crawl space. So that's actually a really common issue with outside porches. That's why I was asking if it's covered or exposed. I can tell you that most of the time you get cupping floors, So we work with a bunch of flooring companies. Had several flooring companies on the show, American Dream Flooring being one of the larger ones with Craig the Floor Guy. Craig the Floor Guy tells me, has educated me over the years, on normally when you're getting cupping flooring, yes, it's due to a fact that you have too much moisture in the subfloor underneath it. Now, if you get up underneath that section in your crawl space, you pull some of that insulation back, and you can actually look at the subfloor. If you're getting growth on the subfloor, if there's white mold down there, that is evidence of a high relative humidity problem. There's enough moisture in the air for mold to actually grow on the wood, which would be an indication there's a good chance that you've got a lot of moisture built up in the subfloor itself, which can cause cupping. Now, it's going to be either relative humidity or a leak. However, with a leak, your floor would also be squishy. You'd be going walking across it, and you could actually hear the water squishing between the floor and the subfloor. So if you're
not hear that.
Okay. So more than likely, you're dealing with a relative humidity problem. And there's good and bad news. The bad news is floors do not straighten back out.
Yeah.
Even if you correct the moisture issue underneath it, once wood warps, it's warped. It's not going to straighten back out. So it repairing your floor, you are most likely going to have to pull up that section and have it replaced. When it comes to preventing the problem from coming back, that's typically when you correct it from the inside and correct the moisture issue. That's the good news. That's a very common thing, and that's what we do all the time. But I would tell you, we need to come out and inspect it before I give any other advice past that. I just want to ensure that the information we're giving you is accurate.
All right, sounds good. So just give you a call and have you guys come out before calling somebody for subflooring, correct?
Yeah, and my guys will be able to let you know immediately if you've got a problem with the subfloor, because we're going to be able to see it from underneath. We'll pull the insulation back and do a full inspection on it. So if we find a problem, we will immediately direct you to a flooring company to help address that. But most likely, it's not going to be a subfloor issue. It's probably a relative humidity problem, which is good because that's actually going to be cheaper cost than having to pull up a bunch of subfloor and flooring.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I understand. Well, I'll have to give you guys a call. What is Radiant? What's the name of the company?
Easy to remember. Triangle Radiant Barrier.
Triangle Radiant Barrier. I'm in the car with no pen, but I'll type it in. When I hang up.
Okay. No worries. Give us a call. We'll come out and take a look at it. No charge.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Barry. Appreciate it. We'll pick up with Janet in just a moment. This is Making Your Home Great, FM 92.9, AM 680 WPTF.
Thank you for listening to Making Your Home Great. If you have a question for any of our experts on the show today, call us at 919-860-9783. Now, back to Dave.
Making Your Home Great on WPTF. We've got Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier and Janet from Cary. How you doing, Janet?
I'm doing good, thank you. I do have a question for Brock.
Yes.
Brock, in thinking, my son is thinking of building a house at the coast in North Carolina, and he's going to have an aluminum roof. We are wondering what sort of insulation you do. Is it the spray foam, and where do you put it? Because I'm not sure how you build it, but I think you put the aluminum roof over the sheathing. And so how does that work to get the best insulation?
No, it's a good question. So there are different types of metal roofs. There are some metal roofs that you actually crawl up into the attic and you're looking down, or when you look up, you're seeing the bottom of the metal roof. There's no wood deck.
Okay? Really?
Sometimes there's a wood deck. Sometimes there's not a wood deck. It depends on the type of metal they're using, the manufacturer that builds the material. So
it's aluminum.
It is aluminum. Okay. So spray foam is a very good option for metal roofs. You can do an open and a closed cell foam. That's typically applied to directly to the back of the deck. We recommend an open cell foam in an attic space. That way it's permeable. It helps the material to breathe, so it doesn't build up any condensation or trap any moisture or relative humidity in the attic. It's a pretty simple process when they're spray foaming a roof deck. It's about sealing up all the ventilation. There is no ventilation in an attic that's been sealed with foam. So you seal from the soffit vents all the way to the ridge vent. There's no intake, no outtake ventilation. You seal up all the exterior gable walls as well. And it is permanent. It's not going to come down unless you get up there and tear it down. So it's a very good investment to do during construction, especially if it's a home you plan on being in for several years. That way you're able to really maximize the amount of savings and get that product paid back to you as soon as possible.
And so you're saying spray the walls as well in the attic?
The exterior gable walls, yes, ma'am. When you insulate an attic, it's all the surface spaces of the roof and the exterior spaces of the gable walls. So it would be applied in both.
Mm-hmm. And you said open cell in all of that.
That would be my recommendation. I'll just let you know what to kind of watch out for. Open cell and closed cell have a different R value per inch. Okay, so with an open cell, if you want R30, you need 8.1 inches of depth. With a closed cell, to hit R30, you need just under 6 inches of depth. So there's a lot of companies that will go out there and say, hey, just let us do a closed cell, and you don't have to blow in as much foam. Well, the closed cell is non-permeable, and in most states, that's not a problem. We've got a relative humidity issue here in North Carolina. So putting a closed cell foam in an area that's not permeable, it doesn't breathe. I have had customers that have had that done in their homes in the past in North Carolina that develop moisture issues in the home. So just be really cautious. Just understand open cell is open. It breathes. It's permeable. It's not going to trap moisture. Closed cell is closed. It is going to prevent moisture. We seal crawl spaces with closed cell because you don't want moisture and humidity passing through it.
Mm-hmm.
Not a great option to go with in an attic. So as long as you're aware of that, I would stick with an open cell. Believe it or not, open cell is actually cheaper than closed cell to begin with. Even though you blow in more of it, it's mm-hmm. still a cheaper cost than 5 inches of closed cell.
Yeah.
So you'll end up paying less, and you'll ensure that you're not going to be causing any moisture issues.
If you're looking for inside the living spaces, like around bathrooms and things, and you wanted to insulate for noise, what is the best to use?
That would probably be a rock wool. Rock wool is a sound buffering insulation, so it I'm not going to say it looks like, you know, Pink Panther batted insulation. It does look like batted insulation, but it's a darker brown color.
Mm-hmm.
That's normally the type of insulation you do around bathrooms, sound studios, homes that are directly next door to the airport. You'll find a lot of that kind of material up there to help with sound displacement. It is an expensive insulation. I can let you know it's about 3 times the cost of the fiberglass, but you don't need as much of it. Most of the time you're just putting it around a bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just around noisy spaces.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, like if you're going to have a studio in your house where you got a big TV and, you know, lots of speakers, you might want to do it around that room as well.
Yeah.
You know, just pick and choose where you think it would be best suited.
Okay. Well, thank you. And don't you have a business on the coast?
So that is outside of our coverage area. We do make special trips to go to the mountains and down to the coast if the job is large enough to justify the travel. We do have customers that pay a travel fee to have us come out there, so it is possible. Just understand, we're normally within about an hour and a half of downtown Raleigh.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
You are very welcome. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Janet, thank you.
Thank you. We love your show. We listen every week.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Okay, so I'm thinking that the reason you would go to the coast
mm-hmm.
is if you could finish by like 11 in the morning.
So I have time to go fishing while
and
I'm down
enough,
there?
Enough time to go fishing, get a tour, boat tour?
There was a customer a few months ago. He owns a property down there at the coast, Wilmington area. And he was trying to, we had just done his house in Raleigh, and he said, look, I got a house down at the coast. I want you to come out there and do that one. And I explained to him, look, you're an existing customer. We'll try to make this work. And he said, well, I got a big boat down there. I'll take you fishing. And I was like, well, you're sold there. I guess we're doing it now. So, yeah, you can always maybe talk me into it with a fishing trip. I'll make it work.
I can see your crew just hanging around a big one of those big three-story houses on Oak Island.
As I'm putting on my flip-flops to walk down to the boat.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's good. The topic is insulation. When we were talking, you were talking just now with Janet about closed foam and
open cell
foam. Mm-hmm. You really do want moisture, even in the air, that kind of moisture, relative humidity, to go through the foam in the attic?
Think about it. If, let's say it was a closed cell.
Yeah.
Well, where's the moisture coming from? Okay. If there's a closed cell foam on the roof, it's not coming from outside.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
So where's it coming from? It's coming from in the house.
The humidity in the house.
It's coming from you taking showers, running the sink, running the washer and dryer in the laundry room. The humidity is coming up from the house.
Yeah.
So do you want a closed cell foam in the attic where the humidity can't pass through it? You want it to just stay in the attic?
No.
And again, we don't run into this problem in most states. You're not going to run into this in Nevada, Arizona, Texas, Georgia. Okay, it's just not going to happen. We have got a very unique relative humidity issue here. That's why, 75-degree day, you walk outside and there's dew on everything.
Yes, yes.
We've got a moisture problem. So think ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, let me do an open cell, make sure that this does not cause any issues. I got to blow a little bit more of it, but it's still going to be cheaper than doing the closed cell to begin with. So what does it matter?
And the both products really look like some spray. You spray it on.
Yeah, it's almost like you're in a cave.
Yeah.
I mean, if you guys have ever gone into a cave, once they blow the foam in there, it just kind of hardens and kind of turns into like the walls of a cave.
That's how they did Star Trek. That's how they did all the caves.
It's all spray foam.
It's just all spray foam is what it was.
Pretty much.
All right. Brock, thank you very much.
You are welcome, sir.
All right. Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. I'm guessing that your website is triangleradiantbarrier.com.
Right on the money.
Right on the money. All right. Thanks. We'll be back next week with another exciting, relatively exciting episode of Making Your Home Great.